and stops. Oh, it's voice activated, I see. National Council of Jewish Women. National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History Number 2. My name is Marvin Herzog, and my respondent's name is Lillian Goldstein. This is Wednesday, March the 8th, the year 2000. Lillian, let me ask you, what was your father's first name?
Nathan.
Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your mother's maiden name?
Tilly Rimson.
Would you spell Roshan for me?
Rimson, R-I-M-S-O-N.
Rimson. You have aunts and uncles also?
Yes. Yes, mother. Mother had two sisters and one stepbrother. And father had five sisters, I believe. Yes, there were five of them. And two brothers.
So there was quite a family.
Quite a family, yes.
Did they all live in Pittsburgh?
They all lived in Pittsburgh, the ones I'm talking about. Except the Rabbi Rimson, her brother. He lived in New York. That's right. A while ago, but I remember that.
This was your mother's family.
That was my mother's family.
Father's family?
My father's family consisted of five sisters and two brothers, all living here in Pittsburgh. Because everybody's gone now.
They, in turn, had children who would then have been your cousins.
Exactly, exactly. We didn't live near one another. We lived in a different section. And don't think we socialized too much because we didn't live near one another. And I don't think we had a car then either. And transportation was a problem.
Don't remember their names, I would suppose.
Oh, the men, of course, were Goldstein. And and the women, gone so long ago that it isn't clear in my mind just what their married name is.
Do you remember their first names?
Let me see. We weren't the type that socialized a great deal, and therefore I didn't see too much of them. Living in a different neighborhood when we were growing up, we didn't see each other. And then in later years, I guess they married, and some of them lived here and some didn't. But we didn't create a very strong friendship to continue the relationship.
You don't know whether they're living or not presently?
Well, I know my father's two brothers are gone and their wives are gone. There may be children somewhere in the country that, you know how the younger generation is for moving to other cities, but I'm not in contact with them.
And, you've been in the community now for many years.
Yes, indeed.
You're very well known in the community.
Oh, thank you.
Do you remember any of the important people that you might have known through the years? Like rabbis or scholars or community leaders?
Well, Rabbi Halpern was a friend of the family's because he and my brother Eli discussed philosophy a great deal, so we met with him. And Rabbi Lichter, I was confirmed under him, so I remember him well. And he married my two sisters, and we were very active members of B'nai Israel, and that's where our tombstones are. And we were very close to B'nai Israel, and we loved Rabbi Lichter. And
what about in your own family? Were there any other than your brother Eli, of course, there any other luminaries in your family who made a mark in the community?
Well, Henry did. Henry did. In the B'nai B'rith, the Hillel is built, there's going to be a room with all his awards in it. And he lived B'nai B'rith and died loving B'nai B'rith, intending to do lots more that he didn't. I inject my niece into this
now.
Oh,
absolutely.
Natalie Kaplan, 25 years ago, my sister, Mrs. Adler's daughter, organized a children's care center, and it proved very, very important in the community because there were a lot of working mothers who deemed it a great deal to have a place where their children could be taken care of. So they were interviewed, and she has a very fine
faculty. What was
the
name of it, Lillian?
The Whiteman School, the Whiteman School Daycare Center. And it's been in existence now since Whiteman School closed 25 years. And is the partner of Judge Kaplan, who is a very outgoing person in the community. He loves to attend meetings of all kinds. He's a real goer and a contributor. And he's out almost every night attending some political or some legal. He goes to Harrisburg a great deal, and I've never met a man that loves his work more than he does. He's a goer to everything socially and professionally. And that is my living niece. And Dr. Adler is my living nephew, and that's, I'm the last survivor of six children. And it isn't easy because there are so many memories that are left behind. To be alone, it's hard not to have someone to share them with. Henry was the last one to die about a year ago, and we shared so many things together, socially, professionally, and religiously. We had the same ideas, we liked the same things, and now it's very difficult for me to live alone under these circumstances. I guess God willed it this way, and I guess I have to take it and think it was the thing to do.
Is Dr. Adler married?
Yes, he has two boys. One's going to be 29. He's doing his internship in Chicago. And his other boy, I guess, is about 22. He just graduated Ann Arbor, and he wanted a year of traveling abroad. So right now he's traveling throughout the world. And in September, he expects to go to law school. Those are the two boys he has.
Can you give me their names?
Yes. Jason Adler is the one that's interning in Chicago. And Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Aaron is the younger one, the spoiled one that wanted a year to travel in Europe. More power to him. And yes, his name is Aaron. He's the baby, spoiled baby like I am.
Lillian, is there any one person that you can recall during your lifetime influenced you very greatly? Person to whom?
Well, I guess my mother was the one. She was the dominant character. My father was the businessman, and he would be the type that would say, let them go to work and earn money. But the mother was from the old school that education came first. And I don't know where we got the money, because people talked about being poor then. And the oldest went to medical school and went abroad for a year to study, because it was difficult, I think, at that time to get into medical school or something. But mother was the dominant factor, and she believed in education first. And the money was there, because there weren't no such thing as all these charitable organizations that are available today. We didn't know of any then. But I guess the folks skimped on what they had, and they had priorities, and education was one of the priorities. Managed. Where there's a will, there's a way, I guess.
Yes. Even though your parents weren't religious activity. Are your brothers bar mitzvah?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Orthodox or conservative?
I would say Orthodox, because that's so long ago. I would say Orthodox, yes.
Do you recall what shuls they were in?
Well, when we had our shoe store on 27th Street and Penn Avenue, there was a shul on 28th and Liberty called the Ova Shalom. And that was where the people from our neighborhood then, it wasn't Lawrenceville. Lawrenceville extended far beyond there. I don't know what it was called. It was Penn Avenue, Liberty Avenue, where the shul was. And they went there for religious holidays. There were enough Jewish people around there for a synagogue. The Hill District was a Jewish neighborhood a few blocks on Penn Avenue for the Jewish merchants who lived upstairs from their store.
Were your nephews, Dr. Adler's, they bar mitzvah also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They were. Were they members of Rav Shalom? Or
mm-hmm.
They were.
Mm-hmm.
You were in college. What was Pittsburgh like culturally? You're in a shot?
When I went to Pitt, they had the Cathedral of Learning up at that time, and they were right across the street from the YMWHA, which was newly built too. And many of the rooms at the Cathedral of Learning weren't even done. You could see the plaster on the walls, and they weren't occupied. That's how long ago it was. But we did have classes in the cathedral that were available for usage. And that's when I became interested in the YMWHA, because it was a lovely building with all sorts of facilities for health and cultural. They had a beautiful auditorium where they brought in orchestras and famous singers and lecturers. It really was a very vital place for the community. I remember when I went to college.
Is that where the series of...
They were very active then, yes. Had a beautiful auditorium, big. Big, they could bring crowds in there. They had a wonderful facility there. That I was sad when they sold it, but the trend was to go to Squirrel Hill, where most of us were living then, and I'm sure they did the right thing. They gave up a beautiful building to Pitt when Pitt bought it. They really got something there worthwhile. Beautiful health club and facilities and libraries. The powers to be thought they better sell it and move where the action was, which was Squirrel Hill.
Sold it to the University of Pittsburgh.
Yes. Built like the Rock of Gibraltar. Oh, every time I pass, I think that'll be there for a lifetime.
What was the political situation in Pittsburgh in those years? Say, Democratic or Republican?
It was always Democratic. Politics that much to know just. I knew I always said since I began to vote that I'm a Democrat, and I think that was lasting for most people, because it is a Democratic
state. The Jewish people in Pittsburgh involved to any degree in
politics? Well, let's see who was in power. Remember the name Ben Lencher, who was a judge? I remember him. Who else do I remember? I got involved in the community in my own little way, and we moved on to Squirrel Hill, too. And life was different there. Watched the JCC building being built while we looked on the third floor out the window of the Anathan House. We were stationed in the Anathan House, we senior citizens, and watched them building the house, the building that they have now at 5738 Forbes. Wonderful institution. Visited by so many people who are lonesome, who spend time in the lobby, and I just can't grieve enough.
Your family when Henry particularly were involved in entering part of that building, I think.
I learned to love that place. When I retired from Taylor Alderdice, I walked down there one day, just a block from where I live, and I was so well pleased with everything I saw, the sociability plus the structure of the building that had everything to offer, a health club with wonderful facilities. Well, anything you can think of that you'd be interested in, I found there. And I soon became president of the senior adult group, which was part of the older age group, which I am. And I came down and watched what was going on. And I was very, as I said, very well pleased. And after being there for a few years, I became the president of the senior adult group in 1980, which I am still president now, the year 2000. But I haven't really been able to do all that I did. Getting older is not easy. Everybody who's old knows that. The mind doesn't take in everything it should. And that's why I'm getting worried that I'm going to turn the reins of the club over to somebody more youthful, more adapted things. But I think it's a wonderful institution, the Jewish Community Center of Greater Pittsburgh. And it's helped a lot of people because the fee isn't that high that everybody can't enjoy it, and they've helped the Russians a great deal when they first came over. And they do so many things. Some classes are gratis, and some classes they're charged, but a minimal, and every class teaches you something. And I just can't stop raving about the lunches there, Jewish lunches, the only place in the city where you can get a Jewish lunch from, well, no, they don't, I was going to say from soup to nuts, but they don't serve soup at any time. It's a little difficult. But the kosher cooking that is delicious, all for $1. Who could ask for anything less than that?
Well, Henry and you subsidized a floor, I think, in that building.
Well, when they first opened, Gene and I gave revenue for the lounge, which is a wonderful room, and they have everything in that room, from meetings to children waiting there for their parents to come and pick them up after school. And then next door to that, there is a conference room, and it's smaller and very cozy, and they have interviews in there. And Henry sponsored that. Then just last year, when the Robinson Building opened, Henry and I sponsored a room that it's in the, not in the lobby section, one floor below. And it's a beautiful room because it can be used for an all-purpose room. And that's what it's called, the Lillian and Dr. Henry Goldstein All-Purpose Room. So that's about it. But I've given my love to the place. And each month we put out a bulletin, and I had an article in there from the president and all the news that was going on, all the meetings, all the lectures, anything that went on came into this bulletin, which people just can't wait till they get it. And then they have the menu in there of what they're serving. So if you don't like chicken, you don't come on that day for lunch. You're waiting for them to have a hamburger. They make good hamburgers on a bun. And some people wait to see just what the menu is, and we publish it in this bulletin every month. And I've heard people say, oh, the bulletin didn't come out yet. We're waiting. So that makes me feel very happy that they're anxious to know what's going on.
And Let me talk about something else with you, Lillian. And you and your sister, Jean, traveled to far-off places like Europe and so on. What were your thoughts about education, which is your profession, in these various places, as compared to your experiences here in Pittsburgh?
Well, when I started teaching at Alderdice and teaching Spanish, I limited my traveling to Spanish-speaking countries. And I went to Mexico and stayed there for, it was only a summertime. Really, to get the language, you have to stay longer and live with the family and get the accent. But I went only in the summertime, and I would bring back menus from the different restaurants we ate in Spanish, and Reader's Digest in Spanish, and newspapers in Spanish, so that this gave me learning material, what to teach to the, and they got a big kick out of it. And now, at this age, when most of my children that I taught are 50 years old, married, and some of them are grandparents, they tell me they've been to Mexico and other Spanish-speaking countries, and they got along beautifully. So that made me feel happy that something rubbed off. And then I went to South American countries the following year, and that was my travel, although my very first trip was to London. I do remember that, and I went on the Queen Elizabeth. And I think, first class, I paid $360. I think that would be about $2,000 today. So, I was going to say I lived in the days when things weren't this way, but the salaries were small and commensurate with what you could afford. But today...
In these countries that you visited, was the health care in those countries similar to that which you were, or was it?
You saw a lot of poverty. You saw children on the sidewalk sitting there with a little tin can or a little cup for you to give them something, and they look so forlorn. We do have people in Pittsburgh that are going around with cans too. When I walk to Forbes and Murray, there's a man holding out his hand, sitting on the floor.
What kind of recreation did you have during your adolescent years, in your teens and so on? What was available to you at that time?
I don't remember, because I wasn't athletically inclined. In your teens, would you be in college? Sure, at 19 you'd be in college. Oh, those were normal years where you went to interfraternity dances. You were invited to any kind of a dance that Pitt would give. And I wore somebody's ring for a long time, but it didn't materialize. He married someone else. But the average teenager, there was enough there too. Like a social life, there were fraternities, Pi Ep, Pi Lam, Kappa Nu, and everybody was invited. Because youth is its own beauty. Every girl was pretty when she was young and social-minded and waited for a date. Luckily, some had more dates than others, but I think it was pretty well evened out, because...
Well, did your siblings, both your brothers and the same things that you did?
I would say so. Henry, as handsome as he was, when I compare him to some of the people here are fat from so much food, but Henry was so slim all the time and so well-groomed that I see these people, they grew old like he did, but people grow old in different ways. And he was happy in his way, and everybody's happy in their way. Even the people that are gaining weight each day here, we say, my gosh, the paper said that 55% of the people are overweight. Well, when they live in places like this, they serve you so much. But if you're interested in your figure, you should know when to stop. You don't have to eat everything on your plate, but it's so good.
Lillian, you mentioned that your father had a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
Was he able to take his family on vacations?
No. The vacation was unheard of then. That's a long time ago. Now people are having 10 vacations a year. It seems like my niece is talking about going to Arizona in places every month. But in my day, no. Not in the growing up years, no. I don't remember ever going anywhere until probably I graduated Pitt. I had no vacation, and that would be in your 20s. So that was unheard of. You're lucky you could go to school.
When you and Jean and Henry were living together, did you keep a kosher home? Or?
I must say, not strictly. During Mother's Days, you had a different milky towel to do the dishes and a fleshy towel. I didn't adhere to that. No, we didn't.
Did you light candles on Friday night?
Friday night was a big night, yes. Friday was different from all other nights.
Did you go to temple or to shul?
I went a few times because they have services at 5:30, which made it inconvenient for dinner. So I tried it a few times, but Henry went every Friday night at 8 o'clock to Temple Sinai. He learned to be very fond of Rabbi Gibson, and that didn't interfere with dinner. So when we would eat at 7:30, he'd pick himself up, and we'd be finished by that time. And he went to Temple Sinai. Took the bus, and then I met a girl, says, "Oh, we often take your brother home." So when he doesn't get a ride, he came home at 10 o'clock by bus. But he loved that evening service. And of course, since we didn't have that at Rosh Hashanah, he found Temple Sinai was ideal for him. 2 blocks on the bus where we lived, from Forbes and Murray to Forbes and Street Beyond Murray. And he enjoyed that very much. And he went alone because I would stay and help with the dishes or whatnot.
Wherever we go in the Jewish community, Goldstein, everybody knows about your family. What organizations did you belong to, and did you hold office in these organizations?
Yes, Henry felt the same way. When they belong and pay dues, they want to be active. And he was chaplain of a group until he passed away. And I will say that I became in love with this place. And I came here right after I retired and joined the Ladies Auxiliary and became president of the Ladies Auxiliary in 1987 and assumed office as president until 1991. 4 years. And I'm still active here in capacity of a board member, and I'm interested in everything that's here because I guess my mother died and father in their early 50s. I guess I learned to love old people, and every old woman that I saw here at the home reminded me of my mother. We have a picture of my mother with gray hair when she was 50. About a year before she died, and she looked like an old woman that's 50. And nobody said, "Oh, such young people," like they do today. Thank the Lord we have longevity on our side. People are living to be an old age. What was our theme?
Organization.
Oh, what organization, yes. So I learned to love this place, and now I know people here for 22 years that I've been coming since I retired. And I know the help. Many of the people have gone to their great beyond since then. But I still have a love for this place. In fact, this afternoon I'm going to a meeting of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Jewish Home for the Aged. And that's what it was called when I first joined. And it's got a new name now. But to me, when I speak of it, I say the Jewish Home because it's just been part of me
for
so long.
And this place is called what now?
This place is called now the Weinberg Village, and a group of buildings, beautifully done, beautifully built, plenty of room for everybody, and a hospital connected with it, an associated assistant living connected with it, and just wilderness facilities. At the end of the month, they're going to open up a Kennedy Park, and that's 15 people who Manchia had. It's sad, but it's a place for them. It's sad for any of us that had to give up our homes or our apartments, but it is next to the best, and they give you such wonderful attention at these places. Who could ask for anything more? Now, the Jewish home, that I will call it, is my first love. And I have, while I was teaching, I was active in, since I taught Spanish, I became president of the Modern Language Club of Pittsburgh, and then I became a state secretary of the Modern Language Group for 10 years. And it was an experience that I wanted with my work. And that was it for modern language. Then I was president of the Pittsburgh Teachers of all schools, and I became acquainted with I tried to keep in touch with everybody, but when the campaign for the UJF came, I managed to